Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
The Around the NFL podcast is thrilled to be back in the UK.
From a hotel room in West London, it's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hansis. Got heroes around a table. Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal, the Grave Digger, and yes, we have made it down the yellow brick road back to London, and we got a great week of shows coming up. But right now, this will be an interesting show to you, the listener, because it comes from, I'm speaking personally, and I could already tell my compadre Mark Sessler, this will be a show coming from a zombie fugue state.
I mean, you know, we texted in the middle of the night, Dan. We've not slept a lot. And it's a natural thing when you come to multiple time zones away. But I am feeling it. I'm feeling strange. I'm feeling bizarre. That could be a good thing.
Yeah, that's when we get our best, Sessler. I'm looking forward to this.
Right. So coming up this week, we have our live show from the O2 Forum in Kentish Town. And we have a show today, obviously. We have a show tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Wednesday. Yeah, a little extra Wednesday pop for y'all.
Well, yeah, we're having fun. We're here in London. We're going to make it count. We are doing a Friday fun show from somewhere in this fair city at a pub to be named later. And then, of course, our Thursday preview show, previewing everything in week 4. And then the flagship program after we head to the Hot Toddy.
Correct.
Some call it the Big Tot. I know that's an issue that some people wrestle with. What is it? Is it the Big Tot? Is it the Hot Toddy?
Well, we came up with Big Tot a couple of years ago and got quite a bit of feedback about
that. I think Hot Toddy stuck. It's kind of taken over.
It has. But at the same time, like, you know how Deion Sanders, when he broke, it was Neon Deion and then it was Primetime. I think Hot Toddy's like the Neon Deion. And the Big Tot is going to be prime time when the dust settles on this.
I don't predict that's how it's going to play out, but I'm with you on rooting for that.
So, yes, we got that Thursday show, Friday fun show live from a pub. And then Sunday, yes, Viking Saints at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium will be there. And then the flagship show, then back on a plane. And then that's when, Mark, I think the bodies shut down. And there's just nothing left by the time we get back to the States. But we don't have to think about that right now.
No, we've given ourselves to the sport and to London. And, you know, we have family scenarios back in the States. Well, tough luck for them.
Mm-hmm. I do like the idea of you and I not making it. And then there's a giant statue of us outside the SoFi Stadium. Like in a, like, just like posing.
That's another thing that won't happen.
Completely exhausted. Because we are warriors for this company, The Shield.
I think the company would forget about us in roughly a fortnight.
You're probably right. All right, let's get to it all, starting with closing the door on Monday Night Football. And yes, raise your hand if you were watching this damn game at 4:30 in the morning in your hotel room. Daddy was. Hit it, Graver.
Little stutter step move by Parsons. Jones fires, and the pass is intercepted by Diggs. He goes down, and the Cowboys think they've wrapped it up.
And they have wrapped it up. Trayvon Diggs. Yeah, nobody's allowed more receiving yards, but the man is a playmaker, and he gets his hands under that ball. Really nice play. It clinched a 23-16 win for the Dallas Cowboys over the New York Giants on Monday Night Football at the Meadowlands. Good energy in this game. Sometimes these NFC East games, especially I know we've talked about it a lot on this podcast, is like, how many times do we have to watch the Cowboys and Giants? And I get that. But at the same time, this was a game that was 13-13 in the second half. The Giants went ahead, and then the Cowboys showed some gumption here, Greg Rosenthal. And I thought, now two starts in, there's no mistaking that Cooper Rush has been really good for them. This season could have gone off the rails. And I thought, especially in that those three possessions in the second half that all produced points where the Cowboys were able to take control of this game, like, that's the importance of having a competent backup quarterback, because by the time Dak comes back, they're going to be in okay position now because they've been able to bank these wins.
Yeah, I thought he got maybe a little too much credit in the win over the Bengals. Last night, his numbers could have been even better if they had made some plays for him, not just that CeeDee Lamb drop that would have been either a long touchdown or a long gain, but a couple other nice throws that they didn't come down. He played a virtual perfect game, and I thought Lamb taking over in that drive that ended up, I believe, taking the lead, not tying the game, like, was the difference, having one guy just step up. You remember there was a fourth down, and they decided to go for it. I thought Kellen Moore had a great game calling plays. They went for it on, I think it was a fourth and medium, fourth and four. Lamb makes a great catch to convert it in tight coverage. He was
fourth and fourth, the Giants 41 with 10:27 to play.
Right, guarded by Adoree Jackson well all night. Then the very next play, he goes for a big gain where he runs over a defender, makes a guy miss, gets to the one. And then the next play after that, he catches a one-handed touchdown where the other hand is pushing Jackson off. They could have called that. They didn't. But either way, it was like an amazingly athletic play and kind of CeeDee Lamb having a I'm the real number 88 moment. Was, you know, this is why they gave me the 88.
The real 88, and Dez Bryant's in the house. So, like, let's
well,
put some respect.
How about I am living up to 88
there
moment.
You go, Mark. And I thought that was the other takeaway for me, at least on the offensive side of the ball, was CeeDee Lamb needs to be that dude for this team. And he hasn't always been that dude. Not that he's been a bust by any stretch, but he has not always been that dude. And yet, in this game, in money time, so many big plays for Lamb.
Well, and you know, Lamb, after he dropped that what would be touchdown, he went to the sideline. And, you know, the story after, he was like psychologically really messed up by it. And teammates had to kind of get him back in his focus. And to come out and finish the game the way he did, was excellent for the Cowboys. The other thing I loved about their offense, because when you think about Cowboys, Giants going way back, and you're right, Dan, I thought this game, I've long been annoyed by the idea that the Cowboys and Giants would be just thrust on primetime.
Hey, they get ratings. It's like the four highest rated games.
They don't deserve it half the time. But this time I thought this played like an old school NFC East showdown. And when they had Jason Peters in there for stretches at left guard, and they were just having Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard like pound off the left side, that is the kind of football that I love to watch. And I thought that that was a great approach for Dallas. And I thought they would have done more of that if Cooper Rush had not been playing the way he was. But they've trusted him in two games to do everything. I think he's thrown 63 passes or so far in two games. And Mike McCarthy just has let him roll with it. And this has been a great stretch for the Cowboys in this sense. And I can't believe there are people suggesting that Cooper Rush should keep the job. That's just what happens in our Twitter.
Are people really suggesting that?
You know what?
Human beings. I'm not saying anyone in the industry. This is
the Cowboys. It's the brand. It's the way they're covered in our league by the Football Cognoscenti.
No one you would respect is, Greg, but like some people, it's out there. That's
by the Football Cognoscenti. Justin, don't take out the pregnant pause like you did the other show. The pregnant pause is supposed to be here.
That's, you know, that's rude, Dan. You know, that should be behind closed doors.
Anyone who watched the Friday Fun Show live gets it. It's like an incentive to drive people to YouTube.
That's right. Well done.
That that's not a real story. That's for Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharpe to scream at each other about on Tuesday mornings. Dak is obviously going to have this job when he gets back, but they have somebody that they can trust behind him. On the other side of it, the Giants, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the Giants.
It's becoming more absurd.
It's so weird watching them on offense.
What was that again?
I don't know. Again, up at 4:30 watching this game. Daniel Jones was pressured 23 times tonight. Last night, today, when was it? I don't know. According to ESPN, the most by a Giants QB since they began tracking pressures in 2009. The most for any quarterback in a game. He was also sacked 5 times, and just beaten, thrown to the turf. He's a tough dude. There's no doubt about it. But this isn't going to last much longer. He's going to get injured, and I just think that DeMarcus Lawrence at 3.5 sacks. I just think the Giants, watching them on offense, and Jones plays his role in this, it's so frenetic and kind of anxiety-inducing for me because there's very little plays that just kind of play out in a standard way. It's usually Jones running for his life, scrambling. Is he going to run? Is he going to throw? Oh, he's heading toward the sideline. Okay, now the ball's out. Or he's getting pushed out of bounds in a violent way. It's just kind of a tough watch, and I wouldn't say it's boring, so I don't mind watching the Giants offense, but Jones and the beating he's taking, it's just not a workable situation.
I think you got Evan Neal got worked over last night.
He's been bad all 3 weeks.
Right. The line is the core issue, but then on top of it, you lose Sterling Shepard, who is coming off an Achilles injury, and he's gone with a knee. Wandale Robinson's not playing. Kadarius Toney's not playing. Kenny Golladay is an apparition at this point, who had a terrible drop in this game. I mean, so you've got nothing around other than Saquon Barkley, who looks fantastic, but it leaves Jones sort of stranded on an island where his best moves are when he takes off and runs, and it's just not a functional offense. But I do think that Daniel Jones, like, the numbers don't look like it. He played pretty well, and he continues to do good things, but there's just he's in a non-functional
offense.
Right.
I don't think it's his fault, but his numbers are way worse this year than any other year of his career. Lowest QBR by far, lowest yards per attempt by far.
Isn't that just a result, though, of what's going on around him?
I totally agree with the way you put it, and he also ran for 79 yards. I think, for the most part, he's doing the best he can, but I think it sort of illuminates the difference between what Brian Daboll is doing and what Mike McDaniel's doing, and I know the personnel is totally different. Like, I know it. But Dable's doing a good job coaching around his offensive line and trying to help Daniel Jones out and trying to coach around the lack of talent. Whereas Mike McDaniel and his system, Kyle Shanahan's system, that McDaniel might be the best at running, it improves the offensive line, coaches up the offensive line, doesn't coach around it. We heard a lot this offseason about the Giants really improved their offensive line personnel. It has not worked out. Whereas Mike McDaniel took what Miami had, and his system is just so good that it makes the offensive line look much better, and it helps the quarterback out. And yeah, you need something more out of a top, you know, 8 pick like Evan Neal.
See it in New York with both New York teams. You see it with Cincinnati. What's going on there? You can name 5 other teams where the offensive line, we heard about it all summer, was better, and now you see the season start, and it's like, no, things are not better. You mentioned Sterling Shepard. Mark, that it's a bummer because he's like a really good guy. Everybody likes him. You could see it when he was on the cart and everybody was dapping him up. Minutes before that play happened, he made a catch, and I thought to myself, oh, that's cool. Like, he's part of this offense. He has a role. He's a guy that he's been kind of an ATN favorite over the years, but can never stay healthy, and maybe this is the year he stays healthy. And then kind of running at half speed, it looks like his knee just explodes in a non-contact injury. And it's like one of those type of injuries where you look at his age and his history, and you're like, is that the last time we see Sterling Shepard? You hope that's not the case, but it just seems like his body refuses to cooperate with him. So that was very disappointing.
And he's only on this roster probably because of guaranteed money. They have the highest paid wide receiver room in the entire NFL, the Giants. And they're not playing Golladay. Now they're going to have to.
The Golladay thing is
Slayton,
a boondoggle.
They're not playing either, though. They gave Slayton some money at some point.
Yeah.
They gave Shepard some money. Some of the lower thirds, you know, when they put all the skill position players out, I love how ESPN does that almost every snap. We're just like, what is going on here? One of the groups was Hudson, Breida, Sills, James, and Shepard. That's their skill position. Where on the other side, one of the skill position groups during the day, and I was like, wait, this is the Cowboys, was Hendershot, Ferguson, and McKeon.
Mm.
That sounds like a law firm. Like, what is going on? Hendershot is showing up with
some big shot.
Hendershot started a post-game, like, fracas, apparently, because he was talking trash to the Giants. Hendershot.
I like that Joe Buck was not about that. He's like, Joe Buck just wanted to go home. He's like, and there appears to be some type of issue, but thankfully... Okay.
Well, the opponent in the fracas was like confused by it. He's like, "Well, it's just some rookie tight end guy. I don't know what he was doing. Right. Why is he talking smack to us?"
Part of it is they were playing the Cowboys defense too, who's given up 3 touchdowns in 3 weeks, tying their all-time record here for the best 3 weeks.
Did you hear Troy Aikman push back on the Micah Parsons, Lawrence Taylor comp? He's like, "I get it. I see what people are saying." That's a very Troy Aikman. Like, I played with Lawrence Taylor. He's like, "We're not there yet with Micah Parsons."
Thank you. Thank you, Troy Aikman, my friend and compadre.
He had a quiet game. He was very sick. He missed practice all week. No. He did get a couple of quarterback hits. They played him at off-ball linebacker again,
by the way.
Yeah, I didn't like
that. The talk about, oh, let's just turn him loose from the edge, but apparently that is not the plan.
But he's not the only guy. That's the thing. Well, Armstrong had a good game.
We should move on.
You know, Lawrence had a good game.
I enjoyed it. Zombie fugue state.
Are we drifting?
Have we been talking 30 minutes about this game?
No, we've only been talking like 8 minutes. It's been a totally normal
time. I do have a question, though, for you.
Dan is feeling it.
This statue that would be outside of SoFi when we perish, what are our bodies doing in the statue?
Why would they make the statue?
Because we're
for heroic.
We didn't make it.
Because we're revered. We died in an effort to raise the league.
Now, did the plane, like what happened? How did, you know, you just worked so hard? You just worked so hard that it.
So think of it this way.
Jet lag and did a podcast.
Yeah.
Greg, the way this is why you would not be the one sort of maybe verbalizing.
Greg gobbled up a bunch of pills and went to sleep, and you know, he acts like everybody else has to be on the same page. We're all natural, Greg. And
it's Tylenol PM.
You know, we've been grinding, and the statue would be Mark and I in a heroic way, like holding on to each other, like holding each other up by baggage claim back in LAX.
Oh,
like lifting, and then that's where we fade away as we're trying to lift our bags off the belt, and then that's what the statue is.
Another option would be Dan trying to, but I don't know if he succeeded or not, but trying to get some sleep, all snuggled up in business class, when I went
to go pee at four in the morning.
I look over to the side. Mark didn't lay out the bed. Almost everyone laid out the bed.
It was very on-brand Mark move.
Not to get in the weeds, but like there's a button apparently that you press so that these two items turn into a bed. And I was actually like trying to get some work done, and so I was not tired. I can't sleep in general. And at one point, a stewardess, an older woman, came over. She's like, "Would you like me to come over and make your bed for you?" And I was like, "That's too embarrassing. I can't have this woman do this for me." So I just said, "I'm going no bed all night long."
Did you guys notice, or were you too far up in the business class section when somebody tried to hit a vape in the bathroom right in front of Jessica and I, my seats? And the smoke alarm went off, lights flashing, like sirens blaring in the middle of a flight, in the middle of the night. I woke up and thought the plane was going down.
Oh, my God.
No, they keep all that riffraff stuff away.
That doesn't happen on the top deck of the Titanic.
Soundproof, walling.
That's where they shovel the coal in.
I can't believe you waited till now to tell us that. That's scary.
It was crazy.
That's the most horrifying thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
What happened to the vapor?
So he stood outside the bathroom, and these two flight attendants came over, a man and woman. They were like, "Were you smoking in the bathroom?" And he's like,
"Were you smoking in the loo?"
He's like, no. And they're like, "We need you to tell us right now. The smoke alarm's going off. I can smell it on your breath." And like, it was crazy. And the flight attendant was like, "The captain will make a decision. He's seen the light go off. It's up to him.
We'll decide your fate."
It's like, I mean, we're miles over the Atlantic Ocean, so what's the decision going to be?
Apparently there's like a $2,000 fine or something.
And no, I know someone that happened to. I do a podcast with him that he was detained coming off the plane because of that at one point.
Why would anyone do that? Why would you do that?
Just wait.
Addiction.
Yeah.
Speaking of detained, we almost got detained when we landed.
Well, before we get to that, I just want to button up what happened again in Coach with Graver. Graver also dumped a full glass of wine on Jessica's lap. And this poor girl had to walk all the way to the bathroom with a soaking lap,
with people, you know, whispering potentially, oh no, that poor girl, what happened? She must have an issue.
Right.
And then she had nothing to change into, so she had to put on her boyfriend's jeans, and that's how she arrived in London. The chic woman, one of the more fashion-conscious places in the world here in London, and she's wearing men's Wranglers.
Yeah.
And a large green sweatshirt to cover up the whole situation.
Yeah.
I want to see if I could sneak Wranglers past there, but no. Little BR, some BR jeans.
Yeah, that was an unfortunate situation that I regret a lot.
But you guys seem to have mended fences since, from what we've witnessed.
Yes, she wasn't too mad, thankfully.
Young love.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, we do get to the we get to the airport. We go through. We pick up our bags. We have to go through customs. And we had gotten a bunch of paperwork saying, do not go to this line over here. Go to this other
talk
line.
Talk to real people.
Talk to real people. Don't go to the E line.
Because of the live show, you know, we're coming here for work, so we have to do some work visa stuff.
And we do as we're told.
Yes, we do.
And immediately upon handing over the paperwork, the employees at the Heathrow Airport were extremely offended that we would ever be in this line. And then a supervisor woman comes over and she goes, you're not supposed to be here. You're holding up the entire line. I'm like, whoa.
We were browbeaten by her.
I mean, you know this wasn't on purpose, lady. Just stand off to the side. And then they like stuck it to the Yankees. And they made us sit there for 12 minutes waiting.
It was a rude awakening.
Like the people waiting right now for us to talk about football again.
Yeah.
They're liking this. I think they're liking the injustices that have been rained down upon us.
Do you know like the Danielle Steele novels, like Peak Fabio, where the shirt's open and then maybe the there's a beautiful woman like hanging off him.
Clinging off his leg.
Clinging, and she's in
very, off a cliff.
Like a flowy but also showy lingerie top, yeah, or something. That's how I picture our statue.
I'm okay, Fabio. So now that's what
you're,
I'm sort of...
You're holding on to me. We're both dying, but I'm like trying to keep us alive. And
so wait,
I'm
what
you
are
up.
You dying I'm of? The... That I'm still unclear about.
Just our effort,
hard
Greg.
Work.
Okay, our
hard
effort.
Work. Okay.
I don't understand
town,
why
so
this
like...
is so unclear. Our effort.
Well, I know, but
what we've done already on
this
trip.
Not, like, they still have to list something on the...
Well, I think it goes with
that.
You don't need to.
I don't think hard work is like ever been listed as a cause of death. You're like, oh, what did old Johnny die of? Hard work.
Fatigue.
So in the coal town where I grew up, there was a way to die of hard work, and that was you go down to the mine and you put in the double shift and you just never come up. You go down, you don't come up. And lost a lot of friends' dads like that.
Yeah, Westchester's most livable town, 1994.
And it's Rockland County. And, you know, when I think about the coal life, and then I think about the transition from business class to picking up the bags at the conveyor belt. Yeah, there are parallels. After the trip to London, staying in the luxury hotel.
My favorite part of all this is like 4 minutes into the Cowboys Giants talk. You're like, Dan's like, why have we been talking about this for 25 minutes?
All right.
I'm a little clinging
surprised
to your leg, by the way, in this statue. I don't understand that.
Like you're trying to pull yourself up to my impressive bicep so I can lift you, but I have been now ground down,
now
so I
that
can't
is
do
fictional
it, and we perish.
Well, we haven't talked about this much because we're work family now. The three of us are tied at the hip.
Well, I'd include Graver in that when you say the three of us that you've who are you eliminating?
He doesn't have the seat that turns into a bed, so he's not on the trip.
Yeah,
in a tangible way.
Let's face it, we've had a lot of producers over the years, but for you know us three,
you're such an asshole.
For us three, I'm just saying you do, you know, like if we're in a regular family, we're at the age you want to start thinking about your will and who's leaving
sure
what to who and what's going to happen. Now, if this happens, because we should get it in paper,
we leave it to our respective families.
If this does happen, like, you know, that RSS feed for the podcast, there are a lot of subscribers on this. So would you be okay, like, if we still use the Around the NFL name moving forward in your honor?
No, I could guess you'll wait until like I'm literally under the ground and in the coffin, and then you'll like stomp the dirt to make sure it's not loose, and then you'll try to shift it over to the JRVP.
Football.
Like, I think he's definitely dead.
We're keeping this football.
Greg
we're
is all about
football.
The statue now.
I just want you to know, like, if something happens to me, and
can we build
Mark,
a statue
I
over would... their dead bodies so they can't get up even if they wanted to?
We're family.
All right, let's pause right here and take a break. We'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name. That's my game, bro.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days, like literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50, and it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
All right, here we go. Let's get to the news.
Yeah. Brian Mormon is going to fake it on the run, and he's going to come up short. Oh! Sean Taylor.
That's a great moment in Pro Bowl history, and we've got a little Pro Bowl coming up, Dan. See?
Yes, the audio
the
medium
only moment
of podcasting. That was what happened? That was the late Sean Taylor making a hit.
That was the Sean Taylor blowing up the punter play, the only play anyone's ever remembered from the Pro Bowl, which is no more.
Right. Okay. That will be coming up later. But first, let us get to the Boltpocalypse. Boltpocalypse? Chargers? Season going down in flames? Chargepocalypse?
Boltalypse.
Boltalypse. Gross. The Chargers.
Los Angeles.
The Chargers are in a bad spot. After winning their season opener, they've lost two straight games. They got blown out at home by the Jaguars on Sunday. And now they have a long list of injuries and key injuries. Joey Bosa's week to week. Is that a groin?
It's a significant groin injury, which may play him. Place him on injured reserve, so it's like minimum multiple weeks.
Joey Bosa missing weeks potentially. Jalen Guyton, who's an important piece of their offense, wide receiver, he tore his ACL on Sunday. He's out for the year. But the big one here, bigger than anything, is left tackle Rashawn Slater, who had a breakout rookie year in 2021, a guy that's seen as a linchpin for what they're doing. He suffered torn bicep tendon in the loss to the Jaguars. He's going to be out for the season. And Greggy, we already know Justin Herbert's physical situation. He's not 100% with that rib cartilage issue. Now you take away his most important blocker, and it just feels like, we talked about it on Sunday, ominous vibes around the Chargers right now. it keeps getting worse right now.
It's so depressing. I mean, Slater was a second team All-Pro as a rookie. So he was the second best left tackle in the game. I think the real tape heads would have put him right there too, right behind Trent Williams a year ago. I think there's a strong argument that he's the most valuable, you know, non-quarterback in the league because of the drop-off of what it means for the Chargers offense to what's next. Storm Norton came in and gave up 8 pressures in 23 snaps on Sunday. He's struggled. He was kind of the reason that they lost that Week 18 game. I believe he struggled. You have Trey Pipkins on
Max
one
Crosby
side.
Max Crosby crushed him.
Right. You have Trey Pipkins on one side. They might try to move him over. They also have a rookie, Slater. I mean, I forget what his name is, playing guard right now, that maybe they could try out there. But either way, it's such a dramatic fall off from one of the very best players in the entire NFL. It just kind of crushes their passing game. And they're already, at least right now, the worst rushing game in the league, which has been a big surprise. They are 32nd in yards per carry before contact, 31st in rushing DVOA, and it gets worse without Slater.
It does sound like Corey Linsley, the center, will be back relatively soon. He was questionable for Week 3, so that helps, because when they didn't have him in there also, along with the absence of Slater, and you had Justin Herbert playing, you know, with in pain and a little more hesitant than I thought that we've ever seen him. That was not a good combination. And it's just like, this was a team that I thought AFC title game type material. And now the future is totally cloudy.
Yeah, the guy's name I was talking about was a rookie, Jamari Saylor, who's a 6th-round rookie who's looked okay at guard and played left tackle in college. It's like, we've seen what Storm Norton is. It hasn't worked. They also have a left guard, Matt Filer, who played really well last year and has been like kind of a speed bump. So you just mentioned it, Dan, like all these teams that the offensive line was supposed to be better.
There's
and now the
one.
Chargers is way worse.
In other injury news, Patriots quarterback Mac Jones has a severe high ankle sprain. The belief at this time is that he'll be able to avoid surgery. This happened on the last play on Sunday in their loss to the Ravens, but he's going to miss time. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports Jones is likely to miss multiple games. We saw how much pain he was in, Mark, when the injury occurred. These are something, as we know from following this game for a long time, a high ankle sprain does not heal overnight. You could easily re-aggravate it. Sometimes you don't get better until after the season. So now Mac Jones, not the most fleet of foot guy to start with, has a lower body injury that he has to work through, and he might not even be on the field for multiple weeks. Brian Hoyer, the backup.
Right, and Brian Hoyer, who's been on the Patriots roughly 12 times at this point and seems to simply be there to be able to use the cafeteria for meals, is now thrust into the starting role. And so, but Hoyer at least has some experience, but this offense already limited, certainly from a passing game angle. I think you're just going to look at Ramondre Stevenson, Damian Harris just being used a ton in the run game. I don't know how many weeks this will be, but they've got the Packers, the Lions, and the Browns up next. To me, New England already was a fringe team, struggling for identity on this side of the ball, and they're further lost.
Right. Your whole thing last year, Dan, that the Patriots are just another team, I think really has hit home for me more than ever this year. Because they had that Cam Newton year, and it was kind of like, okay, Brady just left. Let's see what this is like in the world. Then last year, you know, at one point they did win 8 straight games, and they had a rookie quarterback. They were an interesting team that had a very poor finish, but I wouldn't say they were just another team. Now they truly are like the 13th game every week that we talk about, or they don't get mentioned on certain national shows, and this just buries them further. I know I might be a homer, but I really took a lot of positives out of the Week 3 game. I thought their offense looked quite good. They actually have the number one rushing DVOA in the entire NFL this season, so that's come along pretty quickly. And I thought Mac made a couple of big mistakes, but also, you know, they were getting big plays and moving the ball, and now they're just like, what is the point of the Patriots right now?
They are in a lot of trouble. I agree with you, and that was the thing with their offense. It's better. It is improving as the season begins to take shape, but Mac Jones can't throw 3 interceptions, and some of them were very bad because they don't have enough firepower, especially against a team like Baltimore, which is why the Lock brothers said we have to lock that game up.
Well, there was, you know, we just operate in deep worlds of logic, and that's all we did there.
Just you're just another team when you're 10.5-point underdogs this week. I can't remember the Patriots being underdogs by that much in a while.
Yeah, and I had the same thought like when I was watching this game, because it's at Foxborough and it wasn't by any stretch a game that was high on the radar nationally.
And they're playing the Ravens, who are a big team.
And it's just like, I did cross my mind, like, that building has seen so many of the biggest spotlight games of the last 20 years, and it feels different there now. And, you know,
it is.
It's not the worst thing. You got to spread the wealth. That was part of the reason why me and so many other NFL fans were so sick of the Patriots after a while. Other fan bases should get to experience glory. Pats fans, hang in there.
I'd assume those season ticket holders would continue to fill that building without any issue now that they're going through hard times. They're that loyal of a fan base, Greg.
Whoa.
Mark staring daggers. Well,
you're
Greg.
Not going to suddenly find something else
Answer
to do
the
on
question,
Sunday.
Greg.
I've been burying their crowd for years as spoiled, just in terms of they don't make a lot of noise. It's not a loud crowd. Now, people are like, oh, it's cold. You can't like clap that much in the cold. It's like they figure it out in Buffalo. So you're right. It'll be a big test. They're spoiled.
All right. Another big test. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are preparing for a huge Sunday night game against the Chiefs. And guess what? They have to deal with weather stuff. Hurricane Ian set to move over Florida's west coast Wednesday into Thursday. So the Bucs are temporarily relocating to South Florida, the team announced Monday evening. They leave on Tuesday, spend a week practicing at the Dolphins training complex in Miami Gardens through the end of the week if necessary. And it's also in play that they might have to move the game itself. So, Mark, that is for a Bucs team that's just trying to grind through things right now, missing so many players on the field. This is just another layer of challenge, and we hope everyone in South Florida is safe and Hurricane Ian doesn't do anything.
Right. Not the time they were hoping for a naughty little rainstorm to interrupt their scheduling. I do wonder how many times NFL Network producers will turn this into a something based around Rappaport when he shows up.
Much when it's like threatening human lives.
Right. Even
I
calling
understand.
It a naughty little rainstorm is
what?
A little bit, ooh.
Yeah, I don't think they'll
ooh.
Do it at all.
It was a little bit like a cringe, like, ooh, Mark. Easy, dude.
Really?
Well, because
sorry,
ooh.
I apologize.
We don't know yet. Hopefully, it...
oh, here goes. So this is how this plays out. I make my comment, and then
yes.
Greg comes in and
moralizes.
Absolutely,
yes.
a very nice, even-handed. We care about the people. I care about the people too. I don't want. I've been
You're just leaving yourself open.
No, I walked right into this
as a former resident, guys, of New Orleans, who's had to escape many hurricanes.
It's
a scary time. It's a scary time. No, hopefully it doesn't hit as bad as some of the most aggressive forecasts have for it. Because if it does, then the game will be on Sunday.
I would like
elsewhere.
To see it. How about this? Can I correct my? I would like to see it. You know, sometimes it takes all the attention. We think it's going to hit land and cause chaos. How about just ebb back out to sea and just affect the fish and the whales?
That's what we're looking for. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping will happen.
Well, what we want is for it to be a, quote, naughty little rainstorm. Right.
But over the sea.
Well, what Mark wants is like a bunch of little bits of like, hey, Hurricane Ian, like breaking the world with his breaking news, a waka waka.
That's what
the
I was saying.
The same thing occurred to me yesterday when I saw this, Mark. But
okay, so
but
that
just
at least,
know,
at least
just
you...
know that we're covered from that standpoint because the NFL and sports guys who think hurricanes named after people is a funny thing by its nature, which I've never been into, but like I could see it happening with Ian. They're not going to do it because they don't want to potentially look insensitive.
I understand that now.
Yeah. Anyway, in all seriousness, I hope everyone is going to be safe in South Florida and this thing does just affect the whales. All right, in other news.
You'll get something North Florida because they're going to South Florida, right, to escape it.
Right. Thank you. Other injuries. Miles Garrett was in a scary car accident near the Browns practice facility. His Porsche flipped multiple times. He was transported to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, but we don't have a lot more other than that right now, do we?
Well, they did just report that that he was avoiding an animal on a wet road and overcorrected, according to Tom Pelissero. But more tests are being done. So that was reported as we were taping here.
That's a sleepy little area out there. I wonder what
probably
was going
on. Deer.
Yeah, I mean, he left
deer,
the hospital,
man.
The same day, which is good, but we don't know anything else. So we'll see if Myles Garrett plays this weekend or soon, but hope he's okay.
I covered the Little League regional World Series regional semifinals in Binghamton, New York.
Boo! Boo! No, this is trenchant.
In 2003. And funnily enough, Ian Rappaport was covering the Westchester teams up there. I was covering the Rockland teams. And it was a big deal for me. I was going on a road trip. I was staying in a hotel. I was covering this event. It was, filing these, gamers and everything over the phone. It was a pretty big deal for a 23-year-old at the time. And I finished it after the West Nyack Little League team made it to, the semifinal round and then was defeated. Filed the story. It was Sunday night, probably, midnight. I get in the car in Binghamton to where I lived at the time in Pearl River was, 5 hours away. And so I'm driving through the middle of the night in this rental car, and I'll never forget, and this is kind of before cell phones, or maybe I had a cell phone, but probably didn't have any reception. The darkest, scariest highway in the middle of the night in upstate New York at 80 miles per hour, cutting through the darkness. And then I see in the headlights, and it was too late to move, a deer, such a stupid deer, just standing in the left lane, staring at me. And I missed it by 6 inches. And I always think to myself, that could have been it. If I was in the other lane, that could have been a wrap.
For the deer as well. That's where the deer and headlights term comes from, Dan. That exact situation that you encountered.
Just I know. But isn't that amazing that they still exist when they're that dumb?
Didn't that happen to you guys a lot growing up? Maybe Western Mass is just a little more...
It was more being alone and being young and being like,
everyone
either
everyone had a friend's father who a car collided with a deer.
Right. My sister-in-law just hit a deer recently. It happened.
But your story is special, Dan. Yes. Like, it is a special
tale.
No, it is scary.
But I still think about that deer's eyes.
Yeah.
Just move. Move, deer.
And we don't know if Myles Garrett came in contact with a deer, but
no, it was an animal. It was an animal.
And there was a passenger in the car, so, we hope they're both faring well.
All right, so we'll stay on top of that story and see if it affects his availability. The 49ers coming off a frustrating loss on Sunday Night Football also are dealing with Trent Williams out of the lineup. He has a high ankle sprain. Again, there it is, the dreaded high ankle sprain. So we'll see if that causes him to be missing games or compromised in any way. It could be both. And DeAndre Swift, the star running back of the Lions, he could miss 2 weeks. What is he dealing with? He has...
It's an ankle?
Yeah, it's an ankle and
I think it's
shoulder,
two, yeah.
But I don't... Either way, Campbell essentially said, I think it would be good for him to rest up a couple of weeks and come back after the bye, which is usually a sign. Like, we've made that decision and he's not going to
And the Swift situation is that's kind of part of the deal here with DeAndre Swift, that he struggles to stay healthy. He's a dynamic player. But they kind of have to manage him. So Jamal Williams, who stepped up and did some good things on Sunday, he will play the guitar.
I feel like there's more injuries right now. Well, everyone is devastated. They also lost Tracy Walker, who's a team captain at safety for the season, to an Achilles. It's like every team is just getting destroyed.
AJ Green could be out a week or so. You could argue that he's been out in that offense.
And finally in the news... The Pro Bowl. I feel like we've done this story 100 times, but now it's official. The Pro Bowl games. That's the name of it now. The Pro Bowl games. Not the Pro Bowl games. The Pro Bowl games. We'll reimagine the NFL's All-Star Contest as a series of different events. AFC versus NFC flag football. That will happen on February 5th. In Las Vegas, Peyton Manning is among the coaching staff for an AFC versus NFC flag football game, a week-long skills competition before the game, and fan events and, quote, major musical performance. That's got train written all over it. anyway, so it was time. It was time years ago, and the NFL, in its infinite wisdom, has pulled the trigger on dumping the game I know we've talked about, Mark, that kids like the game. I know your sons have dug into it a little bit, or maybe it was
Greg's
kids. I watched it once in the 90s, and it was fine. But not a lot of people were into it. The players weren't into it, and you understand they're just protecting themselves as they should. So let's give this another chance in a different format.
Flag actually sounds like it'd be pretty watchable. I would watch a AFC versus NFC flag football game.
Nobody was playing defense anyway, so
right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was flag.
Flag
football,
is,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They're trying to make, like, flag is a growing part of, like, football culture, not just, you know, in this game, of course.
They might as well play flag football out there. These guys can't hit anymore.
I'll
hang up and listen.
Like, the flag leagues that the NFL runs, and there's other ones, are pretty intense. The ex-NFL players we work with often have their sons in those flag leagues. Then they move on to the tackle leagues pretty young, too.
These guys ain't even ball players.
And they take it very serious, and it's intense.
I took Colton to he chose not to do this, but we went to a combine, a flag football combine, and there were like six stations where it was like, you're doing everything they do at a combine. And I thought this will be a nice way to get into the sport. And we went there, and it was so hyper-intense, like Southern California. I think he was like, I ain't into this right now.
Yeah, Walker's doing flag right now, and it is a little intense. Like, you got to have your someone cut their uniform and got chewed out by the coach for, like, cutting their uniform. This is a 7.
It's replaced Pop Warner, essentially.
I have a missive I want to read. This from Peter O'Reilly, NFL EVP of Club Business and League Events. We've received invaluable feedback from players, teams, and fans about reimagining the Pro Bowl, and as a result, we're thrilled to use the Pro Bowl games as a platform to spotlight flag football as an integral part of the sport's future, while also introducing fun new forms of competition and entertainment. That's probably train editorial note. That will bring our players, their families, and fans closer than ever before. Integral part of the sport's future, flag football. Watch out, soccer. Like, I'm watching kids soccer every weekend now. Not quite into it. Not my favorite thing to watch. If Jack and Harry were like, I want to play flag football, I was like, let's roll.
Peyton Manning is going to play an active role in the coaching, and his Omaha Productions is playing an integral role in bringing the pro games to life. I feel like Omaha Productions is everywhere. Like, leave some for the rest of us there, Omaha.
Kyle Brandt has a new program connected to Omaha Productions.
Think he'd be coaching if his production company wasn't umbrella operation over the whole thing? No.
It's working.
That's what's happening in the news. One more break, and then we'll finish up the show.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name.
That's my game, bro.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days, like literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50, and it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
All right, let's hit it. Thursday night preview. We close the door on week three. We open the door on week four with another great matchup that I promise you will lead to Mark laying in a hotel room watching at 4 a.m. The Miami Dolphins travel to Cincinnati to face the Bengals. There, I feel like it's a rite of passage on the Thursday night football schedule to have a home game in Cincinnati in September or early October. But it hits a little different when you're the defending conference champions. And it hits even harder, Greggy, when the Dolphins are coming to town 3-0 in the talk of the league after their upset of the Bills.
And yet they're 3.5-point underdogs, which highly disrespectful. Dolphins fans are noting the lack of national analysts picking them. It's fueling them. It's fueling their
the Bills. We talked about it on Sunday, but the Bills ran 51 more plays than them. That was so crazy.
Although,
that game.
You know, I finally got a chance to watch that, and it just felt like sort of a unique game. I did not think Tua Tagovailoa played poorly at all. In fact, I think he played quite well. Like that throw he made to Waddle down the field, to me, is proving why he's not Jimmy Garoppolo.
And
third and 22. And I bring up that name just because it's the same system. And even coming into the draft, some people compared Tua to a Jimmy Garoppolo of like what he does well, what he doesn't. Can he be a system quarterback? I've seen a little more playmaking from Tua this year. The play that he got hurt on where he got concussed was actually...
No, it was a back injury.
Oh, it was a back injury, right. Yeah. He made a nice play on that. Like Jimmy Garoppolo is not making that play. The some of the deep shots, I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is making that play. And yet there are other plays in this offense when he hits the back of his drop and he hits that crosser where it looks exactly like the 49ers and what Mike McDaniel was doing there. But everything just like makes a lot of sense. And they're really going to test the Bengals defense, who's played great this year, but has also played three pretty lackluster offenses in a row, and this is a much bigger test for their veteran group.
I mean, on throws of 20-plus yards, Tua is 9 of 13 for 303 yards with 3 touchdowns. I think against the Ravens, he was asked to answer the call over and over, and he kept doing it. And last week, he was asked to make that one big throw, and he did it.
And he's just so good at, like, when he's holding the ball at the mesh point and pulling it back and then making the quick throws. First of all, he can throw different passes than right-handers can. Not like it's better or worse, but it's different. He's so good at doing that so quickly. Like, that's a real skill. He's one of the best in the league at doing that.
He's, to his benefit, this offense with this new offensive coordinator or head coach, that it plays to his strength. It's not a Justin Herbert offense where you're dropping back and throwing 80-yard rainbow strikes. It's get the ball to these guys and let them do their business, which is not to say he's throwing it 3 yards of the line of scrimmage. Like, that's a perfect example. The Waddle play, that was a strike down the middle that he took nearly to the house that really changed that game. And by the way, the NFLPA is initiating an investigation into the handling of Tua's concussion evaluation during Sunday's game.
Tua said after the game that the footage where he's like wiggling around and it was looking disturbing and it looked concussion-like was a back injury, that he basically had spasms essentially, that it acted up. So I would take him at his word, but I wonder if he's fully healthy. Jalen Waddle is a groin injury, didn't practice.
You watch that and think that looks like a back issue?
I'm saying
his head on the turf.
What I'm
and
saying
then didn't
is
have
that Tua said that's what it was. So I'm not diagnosing
because they're trying not to get popped by the league for evading the concussion protocol.
We'll let that play out. I'm just telling you what the player said. But like Teron Armstead is hurt. Xavien Howard is banged up. I think the reason the spread is the way it is because there are the laundry list of injuries in Miami. It's like 16, 17 players long. Most of them will probably play.
90 snaps, too, for the defense. So The offense didn't play much on Sunday. They'll be fresh. But I always do keep an eye on that on a Thursday night game, that their four or five best defensive backs especially played about 90 snaps, which is an outrageously high number. And some of the defensive linemen played 70. But one of the reasons they're good, Danny, is their defense is pretty deep. They like that Trey Flowers signing. He's starting to make some plays. Mel Ingram is somehow a great signing for like that seventh straight year. I don't know why people
don't.
Did
you see my theory?
Yeah.
I replied.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
You've become a reply guy lately.
I like replying because you have your massive hyperbolic tweets and it's just begging for somebody to reply sometimes.
That wasn't hyperbolic, but you were with me on
that. No, that's a good tweet.
Yeah.
That was a good tweet.
I just was like,
he doesn't wear gloves.
Why does no one sign Melvin Ingram? He just shows up and he's been awesome everywhere he goes.
It's the same thing in baseball. The guys that don't use the batting gloves, it's like, oh, he doesn't look quite as dynamic. And I think Melvin Ingram is one of those rare guys that doesn't wear any gloves. He's barehanded on both hands. And I just like, oh, he's like a throwback. He looks like a 1980s middle linebacker.
Hendrickson is another one of those guys. Trey Hendrickson, who had 2.5 sacks last week for the Bengals and did get paid. So it's unfair. But they are deep. This is where the Bengals offensive line, like, to
you know
me,
what's
gets
unfair?
Very tested in this game.
Justin Graver not being in business class with us. That's not fair. You want to talk about injustices, Justin?
What business class?
What? Who was that? Did you guys hear something?
Were you looking for this?
I thought initially you were.
What are you talking about?
I thought you initially, what is happening with you?
What's happening with you, Justin? Why are you acting weird?
Do you
about
not
this?
Remember that we were on an airplane together roughly 30 hours ago?
Oh, sorry. Okay. I thought you were referring to a class.
Speaking of fugues,
about business. Yeah, I'm a little tired.
All right. Back to the show. Good contribution, Gravedigger.
No, I actually was put in business class.
That's
but
what I was going to say. You actually did something very gallant.
I requested to be sent back
spilled
to
wine
coach
on his wife?
So that I could spill wine all over
Wait,
Jessica.
Really? You?
So I could spill wine on another man's wife.
That was a gallant thing that you did, though.
That's a bold move. You could have just given her the seat or kind of split
Greg,
it up.
I tried to do that. You already told you the story,
yeah,
and you shared the same advice before.
She did
before,
not
so.
Want to sit apart, so
yeah,
I was like,
that's
okay,
true.
Cool.
That would be weird.
She really likes you, man. That's good.
It's nice.
And a reminder, this TNF preview is presented by Prime Video, the new exclusive home for Thursday Night Football. All right, where were we? Go ahead, Mark. Greg, you were making a point.
Was I?
I don't know.
Any other thoughts you were, about this and then Graver was.
Awuzie for the Bengals.
I'm Awuzie right now.
Yeah, I think.
I don't have any major things to add.
Leads the NFL in negative EPA per play, according to Next Gen Stats. He's taken like a breakout year a year ago and looks even better. And that means you look to the other side. And who's on the other side? Eli Apple. And who talked crazy trash on Tyreek Hill after the Bengals beat the Chiefs in the AFC Championship? Eli Apple on Twitter. I forgot what he called him. I think he might have called him the B word. Something like that. But Tyreek Hill threw it out there after Sunday night that he's hunting for Eli. He's hunting for Eli Apple.
That's fun. I like that. And I'm going to get ahead of this because right now it is, I don't know, like the middle of the night in Los Angeles.
4:28.
Where our editors are. So the power rankings.
It's a good time to check the sink on these podcast bozos.
the NFL power rankings have not been edited and published yet, but it is Dolphins at number 3 behind the Bills, who they defeated. And I know Dolphins fans are going to try to kill me for that. It is not taking away from what they've done to start the season. They're in the top 3. Who would have ever thought that as we close out September? But, yeah, I guess I do want to see a little bit more. Road win on Thursday night against Cincinnati, right after Cincinnati got its mojo back thanks to my Jets. That is another great little test for the Dolphins to say, yeah, this isn't just a fast start. We're the real deal. And I know it's great and spectacular and out of this world they were on offense in week 2. It's been sandwiched by two pedestrian offensive days to me, so I still want to see more of the Dolphins before I'm saying, yeah, this is a real deal. This is they're that team. You always wonder what's the team that comes out of the weeds and becomes a superpower. Is it the Dolphins? Not all the way there yet, but obviously you can't take away what they've done.
I have no problem with you keeping Buffalo in the top spot just based on who they are. I don't think the power rankings.
Two. The Eagles are one.
Well, just that Miami didn't hopscotch them. I don't think one result should do that. That said, I think the Dolphins are legitimate. And it's for me, it's not just their defense. Their defense is why they won that Bills game. And they're really well coached on offense. And a lot of the issues that Tua had before, which was offensive line, lack of weapons, lack of offensive coaching. He had two offensive coordinators with a third guy in his ear on the headset. That's all been replaced by Mike McDaniel and a really well-organized attack. So I don't think they're going away at all. I think what we've seen is who they are.
Right. Their running game in Miami doesn't get much attention, but it's been quietly effective. And I think that's a difference between these two teams, is that you can run, and they've been really effective in the red zone. And even in that Jets game, I mean, the Bengals made some great plays, but I didn't feel like their offensive line was still that clean. And I still think they're like counting on Burrow to beat these two shell coverages that are making him, you know, dink and dunk down the field.
Joe
I like the Dolphins in this game, but it is a tough spot.
Their ground game, which was a strength last year, has totally vanished.
Even to the point when Mixon lost some carries against the Jets, you immediately saw they moved the ball better on the ground in the second half. Now the Jets were maybe a little ground down on defense by that point.
With Samaje
Perine. I think that the running game needs to get going, because that allows Burrow to, you know, be set up better in the passing game. But that was a positive start for their offense. Let's see if they can build on it.
By the way, Eli Apple offered Tyreek Hill free tickets to the Super Bowl last year via social media after he helped shut down Tyreek Hill. Remember that play at the end of the first half that kind of, to me, was the biggest play in the AFC Championship when Eli Apple tackled Tyreek Hill? He did not call him the B word that you think the B word would be. He
Bozo.
Called him a baby. So that's my fault. But Tyreek Hill.
That's basically when you call somebody the other B word.
He called him a baby.
That you're calling them a baby.
And then Tyreek Hill, immediately after Sunday, already was thinking about it and telling Eli Apple, I own you. I own you.
No, this will
be fun.
I can't
wait until Thursday night.
I can't wait till Annie Apple chimes in on this.
Miami.
That was a year in our lives that Annie Apple and Eli Apple were like a whole story.
Right.
That was a thing.
I don't like that.
That was a thing. Show us something, Bengals. Show us something. We don't want you to be a 1-3 AFC champion, defending champion here. This is a big spot for them. This would be an acceptable loss for the Dolphins. The Bengals need to win this.
Let's see. Other competing power rankings are popping up now. I'm trying to see if
this is for your own time.
Yeah. Nate Davis of USA Today, who I like.
We are taping still.
He's got the Eagles 1, Dolphins 2, Bills 3.
This is for your own personal mental grudge hour in your hotel room, not now.
Mental grudge hour. Thank you, Paul Rudd. All right. That was the TNF preview presented by Prime Video. The new era of Thursday Night Football is officially here, and it's only on Prime Video. There you go. TNF preview. And we will have a recap of that game on the Friday Fun Show. Come join us. Unless the establishment doesn't want an angry mob of hard-drinking,
haven't cleared that, just went rogue
Englishmen. And if you're an English woman who is a hardcore listener of this program,
right? God forbid,
rise up, hold your hand up,
God
and say,
"God forbid you like."
We're
any,
here too.
Right? That would.
It's the same conversation every time we come to London and we have a live show, and we're nice enough. We're lucky enough to have these conversations after the show, and there's the husband and then his wife, and she's like, I've never heard the show, but it's always on in the background, and my husband loves you.
Right.
I don't know you, but thank you for doing this. It's like, all right.
We also do have a strong contingent of loyal female listeners.
But not the Brits.
I will tell you
like
that
particularly.
Doesn't
heavy.
It feel a little weird when Mark pipes in with comments like that?
What? That's just true.
Like,
because they every
like,
time
have,
we say that,
I have great relationships with many of them.
Every time
what
we say that, every time
scenes,
we
Mark?
Say that, every time we say that, they come out of the woodwork to say that's not the case.
Right.
It's not just
are you holding
yes
down
again,
that side
Mark,
of our empire?
Mark's like, I have a team of women I DM with daily.
Would you please shut up? That was an appropriate sound clip.
I mean, you kind of asked for that one.
I am begging you to shut up. I am just saying.
We do have a lot of female fans. Trust me.
No,
and,
it's
like,
just
you're expecting us not to react to that?
Do you think they feel invisible when we just continue to act like the whole fan base is male?
No, I don't act like that. I think for whatever reason. What Dan is saying,
is
for whatever
true.
Reason, in the UK in the UK audience, I think that's true. I think it's somehow different in the States, where maybe American football is a little more balanced in terms of men and women both loving.
Well, that's
equally.
Your opinion.
Whereas
that's
here,
exactly
maybe
correct.
Hasn't crossed over. I don't know.
Women of the UK and surrounding territories, please reach out to Mark privately, as is his wish, to stand up and be counted.
Is that? I'm not. That is. Yeah, thank you.
Personal foul. Roughing the Sessler.
All right. That's it. Again, loaded show. Loaded show. Loaded week. You get this. You get a Wednesday pod. You get the Thursday preview. You have a Thursday night live show from O2 Forum Kentish Town. Get your tickets. Ticketmaster. All seats must go. You get a Friday fun show. You get the Sunday flagship. We're here, baby.
And then you get a statue of you guys holding each other or something.
Yes, post-mortem statue. But we're not there yet. We need to get through here. If we don't perform during this week and have the best possible London week, they're not going to build the statue. Cause,
we're in the process of deserving it.
The statue needs to be earned over the next 7 days.
But just in case we do need it, like, we might need to start working on that will sooner than later.
You're not going to get what you want.
You're not going to get the RSS feed. You and Jeselnik will never touch that feed.
That's not the route I would go, but yeah.
Go into your airplane bathrooms and vape all you want. You're not going to get our RSS feed. All right. Let's go. I feel nuts.
I feel insane.
All right, until Wednesday, no matter where you are in the world, heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.